All right.
Emma strikes. She's left me a recipe for chicken and broccoli casserole. For those that don't know, I do not eat broccoli. So that recipe is of no use. Well, I had an opening. I don't know what it is now. So why don't we just turn to the book of 1 John and go from there. Well, I guess it's good that we did that because this is really a good message as far as being upbeat, okay? We just sang a song, Standing on the Promises of Love. And, you know, there's a lot of promises in God's Word. And do you stand on them? I mean, you know, really stand on them? Do you really count on them? And in these three verses that we're going to look at, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, John is continuing a thought. He's just told us that we are born of God, that we are His children, and that we are joint heirs with the Son. We have something waiting for us in heaven. This world is not the end of that. You know, it's not the end of our lives. It's just we're just passing through. And these verses are really verses of hope, verses of promise. And I hope God assures you. I mean, this book of 1 John is really a book of assurance. It's to confirm. You know, John is writing this to confirm God's commitment to us. And so let's just look at these verses, the first three verses in 1 John chapter 3. He says, "Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." And so we're going to look at these verses, some very powerful verses in God's Word. And the first part of verse 1 is the fact of the Father's committed love. The Father's committed love. God was so committed to us that He gave His Son. He sacrificed His Son. And that was the verse that I had Del read. God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You realize God doesn't owe us anything? He gave His Son, and that's enough. That proves His love. That proves it. The fact that we could not reconcile ourselves to Him, He had to reconcile us to Himself. And He did that through the sacrifice of His Son. His love has been proved. And I like, you know, some of the translations don't have this last little part where He says, "Look at how great a love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. And we are." That little part there in a lot of translations isn't there. And we are. It's just a confirmation. Listen, when you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you don't become His child when you die and you go to heaven. You're His child right now. Right now. And you live like that right now. You live as if you know who your Father is. And you don't want your Father's name to be tarnished by what you're doing here on earth. We are representing our Father. And we are His children right now. And sometimes I think we forget that. You know, we kind of think, well, we got all this stuff coming to us, but right now I just got to kind of work my way through this world. And we do got to work our way through the world, but we are His kids right now. And we represent Him. And you know what? For the world, a lot of the world, we're the closest thing they're going to see to God. Because they're not looking. They're not looking for God. They're just looking to whatever their idea of a good life is. They're trying to do that however way they can. Any way they can. And then they run into a Christian and, what's that all about? And so we need to understand that we are His children. He died for us that we would have that opportunity. We don't expect to be God's children. We are God's children. And so just remember that. You are. But the fact of the... So we have the fact of the Father's committed love. And there's also the fact of the world's complete blindness. The world is blind. The second half of that verse... The reason the world does not know us is it doesn't know Him. You know, the world thinks we're nuts. You understand that? The world thinks we are nuts. We are those radical, Bible-thumping, right-wing conservatives that don't belong in the 21st century. We're just stupid people that believe in a fairy tale God. That's what they say. You know, I read some of these, you know, when you get these... Well, like that Doritos commercial. I mean, in the Super Bowl where they had the sonogram, you know, and the little baby in the womb, he was following the Dorito. And then the mom said, give me that, because it was making the baby bounce around in there. And she throws it, and the baby goes, puts his feet on her and goes, like he just delivered himself, you know, to go get that Dorito. And do you realize that these organizations that are for abortion, they've jumped all over that. They were saying, oh, you know, this is terrible. That, you know, you're making a fetus human. Well, isn't it? I mean, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And yet they call us stupid. And then you'll get on these things and you read these blogs, that, you know, these people commenting. And inevitably, someone will say on there, well, it's just these people just believing in their fairy tales. And someone will always say that on those comment sections. But you know what? It's not a fairy tale, folks. It's not. And the world doesn't get us. They don't have us figured out. Don't be surprised when the world acts, thinks, lives, and talks like the world. You know, they're going to. That doesn't surprise me. They are who they are. Jesus Himself said it. He says, you know, when He told the Pharisees, He said, you're just like your father. And your father is Satan. You know, He just flat said it. And Satan is the ruler of this world. And so they're not going to understand us. Look what the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. See, we get it because we have the Spirit of God. That discerns things for us, that explains things. We understand when something happens that's not right, but the world thinks it's totally okay, like abortion. There's a spirit within us that convicts us that these things are not right. But in two verses down, in verse 14, it says, but the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit. because it's foolishness to him. That's why they call us foolish. That's why they call us stupid. You know, our Bible talks about creation, and they believe in evolution, and they think we're stupid because we believe in creation. But it's foolishness to them. The world's not able to understand because these things are evaluated or discerned, depending on your version, spiritually. That's how you understand. I can look back and I think about the way I thought before I accepted the Lord. I had everything figured out and I did not get what the Bible had to say. It didn't make sense to me. I could read it and understand it as far as like reading English, you know, and understanding what it said, but I could not comprehend its meaning, how it applied to me. I thought that it did not apply to me. I literally could not see how it applied to me. But it's amazing when you accept Christ and the Spirit comes in and you start reading His Word and, wow, you know, that makes sense. Wow, that's how that came about. Well, and that's the Spirit working within you. And you got to understand, when we deal in the world, they don't see it our way. They don't understand it. And so they think we're foolish. They think, you know, we don't get things. The world doesn't understand us because it doesn't understand God. That's what he said in this verse. The world doesn't know us because it doesn't know him. The world thinks that this is all there is to it. Or they think they're going to be their own God one day. There's some belief systems out there like that. But a lot of the world thinks, hey, I'm just going to live for today because, you know what? I'm going to die and that's going to be all there is. And how wrong they will be. How wrong they will be. You know, the rich man and Lazarus, that story that Jesus told. Rich man, you know, he lived good, ate well, but he died one day, and the Bible says, when he opened his eyes, being in torment. That's the reality. Lazarus, on the other hand, the poor beggar, when he died, when he opened his eyes, he was in comfort. He was in peace. That's the promises, folks. That's the promises that God has made us. And he's assuring us of this. And we need to live like it. When we talk to people that don't know the Lord, man, there ought to be something in our speech that kind of gives away the fact that we got more going on than they do. That we got stuff to look forward to that's not connected with this life here in this world. Because this life in this world, even for believers, can be hard. There's things that go on that we have to go through, whether it be financial or health-wise or relationally. There's things we go through that, you know, let's just face it, it's not pleasant, it's not good. But our assurance is not in this world, it's in the next. That's where it's at. That's where the promises are. But we can live those promises now. We should live like we know. And I think a lot of times we kind of forget. Live like you know. To understand God and His Word requires spiritual insight. The world doesn't have it. The world doesn't have it. But then there's the fact of our coming transformation. Theologically, the term is glorification. And glorification only comes at the end. It comes when you die. For the Christian, when the Christian passes from this world to the next, that's when you get the glorified body. You get the mind of Christ. That is the promise. Think about it. We are going to be like Jesus. Man, that's hard to fathom. That's hard to fathom. Because I know myself and you know yourself. And I think I'm pretty safe in saying we're not like Jesus. I mean, we try to be. We're hopefully we're growing in that direction. But we won't be exactly like him, but we will have his attributes. And what are those? How about sinless? Boy, won't that be cool? Not have to battle the flesh anymore? Man, that'll be good. Selfless. You know, as much as you try, there's still that selfishness that we have, you know, that we kind of want it our way. Even in good things, we want the good things to happen our way. And we won't have that. That'll be great. Everyone will just be looking out for everyone else and not worrying about themselves. How about loving God completely? You know, the Bible tells us the first great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. I try to do that, but I can't do it completely. Self gets in the way. My weaknesses get in the way. My fallacies get in the way. How about loving everyone else? Because that's the second command, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. And then who's your neighbor? Basically, everyone is your neighbor. People are your neighbor. And I don't know. I just can't love everybody like myself. I don't know about you. Try to. But man, there's just some people aren't lovable. Huh? You know some of those people? You know some of those people? I know I'm supposed to love them. Forgive me, Lord. But really? That one I got to love? But yeah, we're supposed to. Because they're created in the image of God, too. And Jesus came and died for them, too. And God loves them, too. Amen. And we're no better than they are, too. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. Glorification. Truly conformed to the image of God. Colossians 3:4. When the Messiah, who is your life? Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus your life? Paul said this in Colossians, writing to the church in Colossae. When the Messiah, who is your life, you realize your life is in Christ. Without Christ, you're going to die. He is life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is your life. And when he is revealed, you will also be revealed with him in glory. That's a promise, folks. That's glorification. We're going to be like him when he's revealed. That coming transformation. He says, we know that when he appears, it's coming, folks. He's coming. There's people that say he's not coming. There's people that say that, you know, it's a fairy tale again. But he's coming. He said he was going to return. After he left, the angels appeared to those people that just kept looking. He appeared to him, and they looked, and they looked, and they said, why are you looking? The same Jesus that left, he's going to come back just in the same way. He's going to come back bodily. You can be able to touch him. Won't that be cool to be able to hug Christ? I don't know if the disciples really realized how good they had it. To literally walk and talk with the Savior. I mean, sit with him, eat with him. They spent 3 years with him. Man, it had to have been something. And you know, one day we're going to look right into the face of Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God. We're going to look at him right in the face. and be right there with him. And he's going to hug us and welcome us. And we're going to be like him. We'll be glorified. We'll have that glorified body. You realize there's nothing going to be like that. There is just nothing like that. That is a promise, folks. It's a promise to all those who have accepted Christ as Savior. It's an assurance. You will one day, you know, Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You're going to be there. And we're going to see him as he is. As he is. You know, what are you going to see him as? What's your view of Christ? Do you see him as Savior? Hopefully. But is he more than that? How do you see him? You're going to see him as he is, the Bible says. Have you thought about that? We're going to see him as Savior. We're going to see him as King. We're going to see him as the Son of God that sacrificed. We'll see him as the sacrifice that made it possible for us to even be there. How are you going to see him? Who is he to you? You ever thought about that? Who is he to you? Because you know what? He's different things to different people, depending on what he's done in your life. But we need to think back sometimes. And sometimes he's the one that gave me the advice I needed in dealing with my children. Or he's the one that led me down a path where I served him in some ministry somewhere. Who is he? Who do you see him as? Sometimes I think it would be wise just to take a question like that and write it on a card or something so you don't forget it. And then in your quiet time, spend about 15 minutes and just ponder. Just ponder who he is to you. And let his Spirit minister to your spirit. And show you something. Because you know what? I think he's more than I give him credit for. And I can think of him as Savior and healer and faithful and you know, and I can rattle off some things, but he's more than that too. And sometimes we just need to ponder our Savior. Do you ever do that? I hope you do. Just once in a while, just maybe set aside your routine. Because, you know, I hope you have a routine. A routine is good. It's good to have a time when you spend time with the Lord in the Word or in prayer. But sometimes we get into a routine and it's really a routine. And sometimes it's good to shake it up a little and just maybe set aside and then ask that question and then just wait for him to answer. Wait for him to show you something. That's relationship, folks. Relationship is not just you to him. That's what we do a lot with our prayer life. A lot of us to him. But relationship is shutting up and letting him have some time. Letting him have his way with you. And show you something. It's our coming transformation. And it's coming, folks. We will be transformed. You know, this is an upbeat message. I mean, it's serious, but hey, you know, it's coming. Man, I am so thankful that I will be transformed. I am so thankful that I won't have to present him with this, that I'll get transformed and it'll be better. But I am thankful that he took me just as I was. Amen. And just as I am. And he wants to make me better in this world. But boy, when I get there, there's a coming transformation that will, you know, some people, we've been having some discussion on Thursday night. We have a men's Bible study at 7 on Thursdays, and the question has come up a couple of times, what's heaven going to be like? And so we've kind of discussed things, what's it going to be like there? And I feel sorry for the different belief systems that thinks heaven's going to be here on earth. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. But, I mean, they're limiting themselves to right here. And I think it's going to be so much more than that. And heaven is beyond words. You know, if you read, I've just finished Revelation. I read the scriptures constantly from beginning to end. That's just, I do that. And then I study it separately, but I just read scripture, you know, from beginning to end like a book. And some people, you know, and there's different Bible plans and it's all good. You know, whatever gets you in the scriptures, that's great. But that's just the way I have to do it. I can't piecemeal the Bible. I just have to read it from cover to cover. And I just got through with Revelation, and so I'm getting ready to go back to Genesis again. But John really struggles to describe heaven. You know, with all the words that he uses, he's trying to use things of the earth to describe something that is not of this earth. That's hard to do. So all I can say is, look at how he describes it and just figure it's probably about a billion times better than what he's describing, because I don't believe words can do it, at least as far as what we can relate to. It's going to be awesome, and we're going to be there, and we're going to be changed, and that's the promise. You know, when things aren't going so good, remember the promises. It's not always going to be this way. It's not always going to be this way. Remember the promises. The promises are faithful. The promises are true. You can stand on the promises. You really can. I think somebody counted one time, there's like 20,000 promises in the Word of God, something like that. I don't know who has that kind of time to figure that stuff out, but I know there's a bunch of them in there. I don't know, you know, if that number is right, but I know there's a bunch. And it's a fact. It's coming. And we get to be a part of it. Another fact, verse 3, the fact of our continuing purification. And everyone who has this hope, and the word hope is confidence, folks. Everyone that has this confidence in him, these things, what's he talking about? What hope? What confidence? The confidence that what? We are his children. Okay? That he already paved the way through the sacrifice of Christ, that we can have a relationship with him. We are his children. And that, you know what? The world doesn't know us. You can be confident of that. Because why? Because we got the Spirit, folks. Spirit's here. You can be confident of that. And that there's a time when God's glory is going to be revealed to you and me. He's coming back. And we're going to be up there and we're going to be with him forever. And everyone who has this hope, everyone who has this confidence in these things, what he's just said, purifies himself just as he is pure. You know, elsewhere in the Bible, it says what? Be ye holy even as I am holy. Christ said that. I don't know about you. I don't think I'm holy like Christ is holy. But man, we're supposed to be. It doesn't say try to be. It says be. And we need to be about purifying ourselves. Colossians 3:9-10. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old self. Okay, so this is talking about putting off the old. What did the old do? We did all kinds of things. In fact, if you read the verses before that, he gets real explicit. Immorality and lying and murdering and, you know, all these things. He says, don't lie to one another. Since you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Now, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take off the old man, put on the new. That's our job. But look what he does. You are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. He is renewing us. Only He can change my heart. Only He can change my thought processes. I choose to take off, quit doing the things that I shouldn't do. I choose to start doing the things I should. But He renews your mind. And we are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of our Creator. He's working on you, folks. I had an old a pastor I had a long time ago said, you know, he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. You know, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Then the Bible in another place talks about renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You put this in it. You know, our brain is like a computer. In fact, it's the most marvelous computer ever. I mean, it's amazing what our brain can do. Even though our brain kind of messes up and, you know, we forget and things happen or whatever, but it's still unbelievably complex. I remember about 2 years ago, I guess it was, or maybe three, they had that Jeopardy thing where they had Watson, the computer. And Watson won. They had two guys that were like the greatest champions ever on Jeopardy played Watson. And Watson won. But the two guys competed well. And I think Watson's advantage was he could click in faster, being a computer. You know, he didn't have that delay like we have. But then they showed what Watson was. I mean, for him to compete with human beings, they had this huge room with all these electronics in there with this super cooling thing going on to keep it cool because it would get so hot. All the work it was doing. I mean, and even then, they'll pit these chess grandmasters against these computers, and they will play this computer to a draw. And that's human beings. And this is done with living tissue. The human mind it's amazing. And God says to renew your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You put good information in here. You know, we spend a whole lot of our life taking in bad information. Taking in useless. My wife likes to say I'm an encyclopedia of useless information. Because I know all these stupid things that nobody else knows. You know, like they'll bring, oh yeah, you know, and I'll say something, you know. Why do you know that? I don't know why I know that. I just, you know, but something important, you know, forget it, right? But I mean, I can remember some stuff, you know. And, you know, I'll hear it one time and it just sticks with me. And You know, my kids, we used to have a family night, and to this day, they want to beat me in Trivial Pursuit. You know, it's just like, because I'd always win. And it was just stuff that sticks in your head. But so somehow that stuff got in my mind. I had to take it in. I read it somewhere. I saw it somewhere. Whatever it came in. So if you want to renew your mind, you have to start putting good stuff in, folks. Because, you know, we take in a lot of bad stuff every day. Just, you know, watch television for an hour. Watch billboards on the highways. Go to the store and just listen to people talking around you. there's a lot of information being transmitted into you. And scientists say, I don't know if I believe this, they say that everything you've ever heard, saw, whatever, is actually in there. And I guess it's true. You just can't recall it. You can't bring it up when you want to. I wish you could. That would be cool. But you know as well as I do, you could have heard a song 20 years ago and never heard that song since, and it'll play on the radio. Maybe you couldn't quote the words, but once they start singing it, you find yourself, you can sing with the song. You know, it's there. For $1 million, you couldn't have recited it, but once it starts playing, you know the song. And you know what? I tell people this. I say, put this word in your head. Systematically read this word and put it in your head. Put it in your brain. And you know what? Good stuff goes in and good stuff will come out. The computer people say garbage in, garbage out. I'm not going to use that analogy for this. But the principle is correct. What you put in, if you put garbage in your head, garbage will come out. But if you put good stuff in, good stuff comes out. And you will change. And the change isn't something that's forced upon you. I've had so many people, you talk to them about being a Christian, and they say, I got to change first. And I'm like, or, oh no, I tried that for a while, and I just got tired of following the rules. Well, you will get tired of following the rules if that's not what you want to do. But when you become a Christian, your want to's change. That's what changes. So the things that I used to want to do that weren't right, I don't want to do them anymore. And I don't feel like I'm missing anything when I don't do them. Where before I felt like I was missing out. You know, when you just try to will yourself, it doesn't work. I remember I used to get angry a lot. I still get angry a lot, but not like I used to. And I would get convicted about that. I would get convicted about that. And I would try to will myself not to get angry. And it would work for a week or two. But it was like everything was just building up. And then something would happen and... You just get really mad, over something really stupid. Because all this stuff has just built up and built up and built up. Because you're trying to will. I was trying to will myself. The Bible says, put away all bitterness and wrath. And so I had to make some things right with some people in my life. People that I've been holding on to some, grudges. I don't know if grudges was the right word, but animosity maybe was a better word. And once I did that, it was amazing how a lot of that went away. Now, I am kind of pre-bent, kind of wired to react, but it's much more under control now. There was a real change that took place because of applying the Word of God to my life. and putting the Word of God in here. And that's what this, you know, it's purification, folks, and it's a continuing process. It's never going to get done until that day He does appear. Whether He appears to you because you passed from this world to the next, or the day that He comes back. Either way. Sometimes it seems like living the Christian life just isn't worth it. It seems like making right choices hurts us rather than helps us. Seems like sometimes everyone cheats and gets ahead. You ever feel that way? Sometimes people, you go to work or something and you see some guy getting promoted. Why? Because you know he didn't do it right. He tweaked it. He worked it. He worked the system or, you know, whatever. And you're trying to do it right and you can't compete. Listen, we should be heavenly minded. We shouldn't be looking for rewards in this world, but the next. If we really grasp the reality of what we have ahead of us, what better motivation could there be for living for Him here on this earth? Yeah, let me repeat that. If we really grasp the reality of what we have ahead of us, what better motivation could there be for living for Him here on this earth? Amen. You know, don't be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good, okay? I mean, if you just totally, all you did 24 hours a day was read your Bible and pray, I mean, that it's good to read your Bible, it's good to pray, but we're left here for a reason. We're supposed to have impact, okay? If you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. That's not what God wants. He wants us to be heavenly minded and then go out there and represent. Represent who we are. We are children of the King. We're a child of God. He's our Father. We're adopted into His family. And He's trying to use us to impact this world. He has chosen to use us. That's what boggles my mind. We're studying this on Wednesday night. We're studying intercessory prayer. And the basic truth that we're trying to get a grip on is God has chosen to use us to impact the world. Now, He impacted the world with Christ, which is Himself manifested as a human being. But that kind of shows you how much He wants to use people to impact the world. He Himself came as a person to impact the world. And then we are to be like that person, Jesus Christ, and impact this world. Your world, the world that you're in, the people you run into, the people that you come across in your daily life. Not all of us are going to go thousands of miles and impact the world. God, you know, one of the greatest mission fields there is where you work. And I think that's why God left so many people in the workforce. He doesn't call everyone to quit their job and be a pastor. Most people, He leaves them in their job. And they serve God while they work in their job. And what has He done? He has placed you where you are at as a missionary. Right there where you are at to give light. When you have an opportunity to give light. So because of what God has promised us and done in us, we should be purifying ourselves. We should be getting better. We should be looking at our lives and making some choices that reflect our Father. Because of our Father's love, we have much to be thankful for. We are His children. His love exceeds anything we can humanly experience. We will one day be like Him. Man, that's cool. Amen. out of our gratitude. Do you have gratitude? I hope you have gratitude to God. I think one of the things our world lacks the most is a spirit of thankfulness. People are not thankful. We have much to be thankful for. Out of our gratitude for what He has done, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do, our heart should be set on being like Him as much as we can. This means making choices that reflect His purity at work in us. You realize the Holy Spirit is within you. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, Holy Spirit is right here. And this is something that bothers me about myself. You know, when I do something wrong, I have to realize I just made God kind of participate in that. Whatever it might be. If it was a bad thought towards somebody, something I said, something I do, I just made God participate in that. His purity is at work in us. We love Him because He first loved us. And He really, really loves us. Don't take the love of God lightly. Look at how great a love the Father has given us, that we should be called God's children. And we are. Man, what love. And what promises. God has promised us everything. He's promised us the world, the universe. When all things come to an end, it's going to be a brand new heaven, a brand new earth, totally pure. There'll be no evil. There'll be no sin. And we get to be there. We get to be a part of that. Man, it doesn't get any better than that. Much to be thankful for. His love for us, we don't even scratch the surface of understanding how much love that is. We are just created beings. And yet, we're everything to Him because He gave everything for us. I don't know where you're at. You may be sitting here today thinking, He said all this stuff and I don't even understand it. And that would be because you don't have the Holy Spirit. And the way you get the Holy Spirit is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then God comes into you and changes you forever. There may be some here that would say, man, I understood the words you said, but I can't really put all that together. Well, let me tell you, if that's your case, you probably need the Lord. And God sent His Son. He already showed you that He loves you by sending His Son to die for you on your behalf to pay the price you owe that you could not pay. So there may be some here today that said, you know what? I've never asked Him to forgive me. I've never placed my faith in Him. This is your time. This is your time to do so if you haven't. The rewards are awesome. The promises are many. But if you fail to do so, the consequences are great. It's eternity separated from God in a place called hell that He created for Satan. Didn't create it for people. But if you follow the Lord, you won't go there. But if you choose not, then you have chosen the other by default. And that's the choice you make. For the rest of us, are you thankful? I hope you're thankful for what God has done. I hope you've maybe grasp some promises that God has given. Maybe you haven't thought of some of them. And maybe you heard something today and you thought, wow, that's a great promise. I hope you've grabbed that. I hope maybe you'll make a commitment to just, maybe in your quiet time, say, God, reveal to me who you are to me, and let him minister to your spirit, minister to your heart. You know, maybe interrupt your routine this week. I hope you make that choice. Let him work in you. Are you looking forward to seeing him? Are you looking forward to his return? Are you living like a son or a daughter of the King? Those are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Let's bow our heads for the invitation. If there's anybody here that has never accepted Christ as their Savior, and you've just, the Spirit has pierced you on this, you just slip your hand up. I'd love to just pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never asked him to forgive you. Anybody like that? As far as I know, everyone here is a believer. I praise the Lord for that. For the rest of us, I hope you're thankful. I hope you're looking ahead. Is there anybody here that says, you know what, Brother Mike, I've been kind of wrapped up just getting along in this world and not really thinking about the future, you know, where I'm headed. I've not really grabbed a hold of that. And anybody like that? I've just been kind of focused on my life. Anybody like that? I saw that hand. Amen. God bless you. For the rest of us, you know, I just hope you'll take this time. We're going to have a period of time here where it's going to be you and God, and just thank him and ask him to reveal himself to you in a special way. Let's take this time and do it right now. And if anybody wants to come forward and they want to pray, or you got something you want to share with me or whatever, that's fine. But this time is yours. Take it and use it wisely. Father, Lord God, we are so grateful to you for what you've done in our lives. And Lord, help us to be more heavenly minded and to just rest in the assurance that you are going to do what you said you're going to do in your word. And Lord God, that the future is bright, regardless of what it looks like here on planet Earth. Our future is set with you in heaven forever. And we thank you for those promises. We stand on those promises, Lord. We thank you for loving us and making us your children. To you be the praise, the glory, for you are worthy, Lord. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.